Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited earnings conference call for Q3 FY21 and 9M FY21. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anubhav Adlekha from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Anubhav.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking and ITI Capital, we thank you for joining us on the Advanced Enzyme Technologies third quarter and nine months FY21 earnings call. Today, we have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Director, and Mr. B.P. Rauka, Group CFO, with us. We will begin the call with opening remarks from the management, followed by an interactive question and answer session. At the outset, I would also like to clarify that certain statements made or discussed on the call today may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the investors' communication shared with you earlier. To begin with, Mr. Kabra will share with us the operating performance and the growth plans of the company, followed by Mr. Rauka, who shall be taking us through the financial and segmental performance. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Kabra for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to connect with you and convey our quarter three results of the financial year 2020-21. I would like to congratulate everyone for staying strong during the pandemic and wish good luck ahead as we are working towards achieving normalcy. In the first part of this conference call, we will take you through the earnings and the business highlights, followed by the question and answer session. Now, I would like to give some highlights on the operational aspects. Despite of persisting COVID pandemic situation, we are able to maintain our international sales. Revenue in our U.S. company has gone up by 7.5% during this quarter and by 1% during nine months. Even we had a loss of sale of $5.47 million from the bigger customer in the first nine months of the last financial year. Supply chain and logistical issues faced during the lockdowns are being solved slowly. However, freight costs have gone up significantly, in some cases, three times to four times. All our manufacturing units are running efficiently and progressing well towards normalcy. Our R&D units are operational, and we are working as per given government guidelines. Now, let me take you through business updates. Moving ahead, we announced that we are positive at all fronts and working towards our goals. As you are aware, we strongly believe in delivering long-term value to our shareholders. In past, we have explained that our annual financial results are more relevant to derive our performance and not the quarter-on-quarter results. In the last time, we said that this year we'll be EBITDA positive, maybe 4%-5% on the revenue front, and we are on our targets. We are happy to say that our EBITDA for nine months stood at ₹176.6 crore, 48% of sales, increased by 15% from ₹153.6 crore, 46% of sale in financial year 2020. And our PAT increased by 17% and stood for nine months at ₹117.7 crore, 32%, as compared to ₹100.4 crore, 30% in the previous financial year. I'm glad to announce that we have a decent growth in profitability because of our product mix. As mentioned in our last con call about the outlook for financial year 2021, we are positive as everyone around the world is rebuilding, and we hope there are no further lockdowns. Now, let me hand over this call to Rauka ji, our CFO, who will walk you through the company's financials. Thank you, everyone. Rauka ji?
Yes, thank you very much, Mukund. I will just take you briefly through the company's financials for the nine months of FY21. The revenue in nine months has increased by about 10% from ₹3,337 million to ₹3,686 million, This is mainly driven by growth in our human nutrition of about 421 million. Although there was reduction in the animal nutrition business of about 66 million and bioprocess business of about 6 million. During 9 months, we also witnessed some rupee appreciation in that sense. Overall, rupee depreciation of 6%. So our international sale is up from 1,911 million to 1,948 million, increase of about 2%. But since rupee has depreciated by 6%, so overall, I mean, you know, it is a 4% down in that sense. AU sale, this is our US subsidiary company, and the sale is up by 1%, as Mukund already mentioned, in spite of the fact that, you know, we have lost a sale of about 5.47 million, which was there in a few, in 9 months of FY20. So in spite of, you know, that sale being not here, we recouped our sale and, you know, we have 1% increase in the sale of, in the revenue of our subsidiary company in US. Domestic sale is up by 22%. This is in India, from 1,426 million to 1,738 million. The EBITDA increase is mainly driven by increase in gross margin because of the higher sales. Although there are some expenses, this has also increased, like, you know, employee costs. This is like annual increments and some increase in our other expenses because of some GST taxes and other expenses being higher as compared to last year 9 months. Our profit before tax has increased by 20%, rupees 266 million from 1,360 million to 1,626 million during these 9 months. And this is mainly, again, you know, because of the improvement in gross margin. Finance cost is, you know, not significant. It is reduced. So there is some saving because we have not utilized the working capital limits. We don't need utilization. And apart from that, repayment of term loans by our subsidiary companies. So there is, you know, fall in the finance cost in that sense. And other income was up in 9 months as compared to the last year. Because of some PPP grant we have got in our US company. And depreciation cost is slightly increased during the 9 months. Our PAT is up by 17% from 1,004 million to 1,177 million. So roughly 118 crores from 100 crores in last year, 9 months. The increase is mainly driven by increase in gross margins and increase in other income, as mentioned earlier. Taxes is increased by 93 million because of higher income or higher income before tax. And some impact, of course, during this particular quarter because we have worked out our tax provisioning based on the new tax regime which has been enacted by Government of India during Finance Bill 2019. So the impact has been taken into account based on, you know, the working that which one is going to be more beneficial to the company. So because of that, the tax liability outgo cash flow will be definitely lower by about 6 million, but the tax charge is high because we need to do a lot of working of deferred tax. So that has certainly, you know, because of that, the deferred tax has increased by about 25 million. This was for 9 months. Q1Q, again, there's an increase of 14% in our revenue top line. So it is about 1,377 million as compared to 1,204 million. Increase of 173 million during the quarter. EBITDA is up by 79 million and PBT is up by 90 million. PAT is up by 58 million. So everywhere you can see a upward trend during this quarter. Year on year, again, the increase is about 23% on the revenue top line of 258 million from 1,119 million to 1,377 million. EBITDA's increase is about 26%, which is the 664 from 529 million. PBT is up by 30% and PAT is up by 28%. So the PAT during this particular quarter is 443 million as compared to 346 million. And a couple of frequently asked questions which I would like to just place before you is, Evox is EBITDA positive in 9 months, and Desi Biotech sales is up to 354 million in 9 months, and our largest enzyme for pharma industry stood at 854 million in 9 months as compared to 762 million in previous year 9 months, and during this quarter 365 million as compared to 289 million in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. So this was from my side, and now we would commence the question and answer session, please, and open this house for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attached phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Raghav Kapoor from Active Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mukund. You know, after Mr. Siarati's departure, which was around 2 years ago, we haven't seen a replacement to him come on board. When are you planning on bolstering the management team? As it seems at this point, we don't have a dedicated CEO or COO to the business.
Good afternoon, Raghavaji. So the CEO is like a board's call. At present, we have a structure and the whole-time director is working as the CEO.
Sorry, so Mukund, you are the CEO right now?
Yeah, so I'm working and acting as a CEO.
Okay, but this is a temporary thing or you're going to be there permanently?
I'm going to be there permanently.
All right. Any addition to your team in terms of CEO or someone like that to assist you?
Not right now. We are working on all the structural things at this point of time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, could you give the R&D costs for the quarter and for 9 months? And could you give the breakup of how much revenue comes from our top 10 clients for the quarter and 9 months?
Yes, Shikha. Just a moment. Top 10 customers. Cell number is about, just a moment, I'll give you the exact numbers. It's about 47% during the quarter, and for 9 months it is about 41%.
Okay. And the R&D
cost is about 4.5% of our top line.
All right. And so moving forward for the next 2-3 years, could you tell us something about your growth plan or what you expect moving forward? Anything specific, any new products, any acquisitions, anything of that sort?
Yeah, I think Mukund would be addressing this particular issue.
So, Shikha, as we already talked before also, our we can't go like annual to annual basis or quarter to quarter basis. We cannot exactly give the growth numbers, but yes, we plan to double our revenues in next 5 years. So that's the goal. In terms of acquisition, that's a constant working, what we are working. We just recently had one acquisition, which was a small acquisition, but we are working on more acquisitions, and when the time will come, we will tell you about the acquisitions, the products, the segments of the products, what we already say, those are the segments which we are working on, like the biocatalyst area, the food area, the animal feed area, the probiotics area.
So is it fair to assume that given our current structure only, we can double our revenues over the next couple of years, and we don't, we might acquire something if it looks interesting, but even if we don't, given this current structure, we're capable of doubling our revenues over the next couple of years?
Not couple of years, I already said 5 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so yes, we are working on like other plans like B2C in some of the segments, but these are the focus areas, and even with acquisition or without acquisition, we are confident that we will make this guidelines.
All right, so thank you. I'll come back in the question queue.
Thank you, Shita.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of MP Kulkarni and private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the question is to the management team. The growth projection look a bit unambitious terms of the global trend of going away from a chemical-based pharma industry and going towards more natural resources-based pharma industry. So why is the management being not more aggressive, and also whether this 14% CAGR revenue growth over the next 5 years is going to be achieved with the existing capacities, or would it need to be expanded at the brownfield sites?
So, good afternoon, Kulkarni ji. What you said is right, but in our industry, like even you, for example, you mentioned about pharma API molecules are going towards more natural rather than the chemical processes. But to develop the enzymes, probably it needs longer time, sometimes even 1 year, 2 years, because it needs a lot of protein G, which is involved in the process. Even like once you develop the enzyme, it takes time for the customer to do the trials. Then they need to study the stability studies. They need to go through the regulatory approvals, and the process is time consuming. So yes, we are working into these areas. And again, it's a cost involved and the time involved in the whole process. So you can work at few molecules at given time. You cannot go with all the molecules right away, because you need to use your resources very, very, very delicately. This is the reason like why we are saying like at least we should be able to go with the 14% CAGR. Now coming back to the capacity, we have enough capacity, and we feel that we should be able to achieve this with the existing capacity. But whenever the capacity level of utilization will reach to somewhere around 80%, we will plan for our expansion. The expansion costs will not be very high, because we have built up our structure in a such a way that we can double our Pithampur plant's capacity with some, maybe about 60-65 CR. So, yes. Did I give you your answer?
Yes, sir. I'm reasonably satisfied with the answer. And I detect from your tone, and as well as the guarded, way you spoke, that you may actually surprise us on the upside, and you're being conservative.
I don't want to commit anything.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swechha Jain from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a follow-up question. Like you said, we plan to, you know, double our revenue in the next 5 years. And you also addressed, you know, to the next caller separately as to, you know, how and when do you do this. But if you could just, you know, guide us or throw some light, how strategically or what are the key two or three things, you know, would be the main driver of this, you know, doubling the revenue over 5 years? I mean, what would be the main pillars?
Okay. So, Richard, like, we divide our sales into the three major segments. First is, like, human nutraceutical, where we subdivide it into the four parts, nutraceutical, pharma, then your biocatalyst and probiotics. The biocatalyst is the area which I just explained in the last question about the API, and we feel that this is one of the growth drivers for us in the coming days. At the same time, the probiotics is one of the growth driver. The other one is like nutraceutical, where the B2C sales we expect to grow in the coming days. Now going to the second pillar is the animal feed, where we feel that we will have growth into that area as well as the pandemic is over and we can move, probably that area should also grow. Going to the third area is bio-industrial process, where we again subdivide into the food areas and non-food areas, and particularly in the food areas, our focus is in the baking areas, and we feel that that should be another one, our growth driver.
Okay. And for all this, if capacity expansion is needed, we would do it as and when the requirement comes in, right, sir?
Yeah, we do need a capacity, I mean, like capital 10 to 12 years as a maintenance capital every year. But besides that, whenever like we will reach to somewhere around 80%, we will start our capacity increase program.
Okay. And so just a bookkeeping question, if you could let us know the cash and receivables as on 31st December.
I think Rauka, you can take that.
The cash is about 279 crores.
Okay.
And receivables are about 70 days of our top line.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That helps a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. In the domestic business, we have seen some strong growth in this quarter. So specifically in which segments we have witnessed strong growth and how much sustainable these are? I believe there would be some pent-up demand also in some segment, but still some segment would have witnessed a sustained growth. And how we should see basically the domestic business going forward in context with pharma industry growth in India?
So Rohit, you hit the nail in a sense, like this quarter we had a strong demand from the pharma. Or one of like our strong molecule or the largest molecule at the same time the probiotics. But I would say that those numbers may not be sustainable as you go on because the numbers will come from some other areas. I don't expect this area to grow that rapidly because we always feel that this area should not grow more than 5% on the annual basis. Probably yes, there can be some growth which was witnessed because of the pandemic or maybe this with the stock situation. But yes, we are optimistic about our year-on-year growth rather than the quarter-on-quarter growth.
Okay. And sir, in pharma, then have we added new customers or it is existing customers where we have extended some growth?
I think it was more towards the extending towards the existing customers. Some of the demand has come up because of the regulatory rules, which were supposed to come from the January month, and probably they might have come up, and there might be some slackness or something going forward because of that. But yeah, I could say only that much at this point of time.
Okay, okay, fair. Sir, if you could help us with the recent SSPL performance, if possible in this Q3 side, and then also if you can share the debt in the books of SSPL.
We have already shared those numbers, Rohit. I mean, it's there in the, you know, I think one of our upload, but I'm not sure. I mean, anyway, and the SSPL is, I mean, as such, the debt is about 16 crores on the books of SSPL.
Okay.
So out of that, I think roughly 12 will be retired, and remaining we will continue because that is some borrowing from the bankers. So that will continue. And other than
okay.
that, we had some, you know, high interest bearing debt. So that
mm-hmm.
will be, you know, retired out of this investment we have done.
Okay. Okay. And any color on what sort of performance are there on this quarter? I mean, in first half, we have reported close to 19 crores sales. So any number for this Q3?
Q3 numbers. In fact, this acquisition has happened on, you know, 11th January. So from 11th January onwards, you know, we will be definitely, you know, tracking those
definitely
numbers
from,
in the sense.
So from Q4, definitely we'll be having some
yes.
numbers from.
So those numbers will. But I think 9 months. Yeah, 9 months number we might have shared, but let me give you those numbers also. So that was, I think, about 30 crores, and then the PAT of about 2.1 crore. That's how, you know, the numbers were.
Okay. Okay. And sir, any update on our new R&D facility which we are working on?
So, yes, we just got our land NA, and we are under the further development process now. So we are like contacting the architect and other things and developing the plans now.
Okay, okay. And last question on sir, Evox side, as you mentioned that we turned EBITDA positive from there. So, I mean, was the sales also increased or is this just a cost optimization?
Sale is decreased, but yes, it's
okay.
EBITDA positive. That's the good news because they were badly affected because of this pandemic.
Okay.
So revenue is down. But overall, you know, the expenses are also, you know, contained in that sense. So overall, like, you know, for 9 months, we could see it's the EBITDA positive.
Okay. Okay. So, sir, if you can share Q3 numbers of Evox, sales and EBITDA only.
I'll definitely share with you. Okay. Q3, I think the revenue is about 78. So this is 780,000 euros. Okay. And
okay.
The expenses are about 460,000 euros. Finance cost
okay.
is about 280,000 euros.
Okay.
And 9 months, I think I'll give you, if you want 9 months also, 2.06 million as compared to
okay.
2.36 last year. And EBITDA is about 2,060 euros as compared to 50,000 last year. Then there's a finance cost of about 90,000, sorry, as compared to 80,000. So overall, you could see that we are, you know, EBITDA positive in
okay.
Evox.
Okay, okay, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vishal Bhadwaj from S Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on wonderful numbers this time. Just had a couple of things to understand from the generic side. The first one is from the COVID-19 part. We've seen that and our normalization in our revenues as well. But we see that, you know, the animal healthcare business has come down quite a bit, while the human healthcare business, which is already a larger chunk in the business, has even grown further. So just wanted to understand that, how has any industry dynamics changed as such for the company, the COVID part, and is sustainable going forward?
So COVID has impacted. In addition to that, in animal health care, you might have noticed in, you know, a couple of states have faced that bird flu situation as well. So our main sales, you know, as such is happening in domestic market. Exports were down in any case in last, you know, two quarters also because of this pandemic. So logistics were not so much available, and there were many more issues, you know. So that's the reason I think this animal healthcare segment has badly impacted, and that's not the focus area also because of, you know, change in the pattern of consumption also. So people were like, you know, particularly in India, were avoiding to eat non-veg during this pandemic because of, you know, its own reason. This is known to everyone.
Right.
So that has impacted animal healthcare significantly in that sense. So it's down by 9 in that sense.
Thank you very much. That was about it. All the other questions have been more or less broadly been answered. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ritu Chabria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So we're seeing that there's huge dependency on the U.S. part of the business. And, you know, with the North American markets opening up now, are we equipped to capitalize on this opportunity?
So it's the dependency, in the sense this is our own subsidiary company and we have been in that business since 1975, madam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, you know, because of some impact in 9 months during last year, the revenue is not used significantly, but still we could recoup that lost sales, and, you know, there is an increase of 1%. So that way, now the U.S. Business, we could expand in this particular 9 months, and our reach has increased mainly to even in B2C segment. So that has grown very well, where we market our own products through our online sales, through own website. And in addition to that, we do, you know, market our products to retailers and the doctors, health practitioners. So that segment is growing for us and giving us a very good visibility in this U.S. market. And in addition to that, this business of B2B has also grew in this 9 months. So we are definitely, you know, working to expand that particular market, just because it's a very big nutraceutical market in that sense.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of MP Kulkarni, private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Kabraji, this is my second interaction. It was very encouraging to hear about your efforts to break into B2C. Would it be possible for you to detail out as to what is the route to market? Of course, you mentioned you are going with retailers and doctors, clinics, gyms, etc. But are you also looking at partnering with major consumer goods companies or pharma companies so that they take care of the last mile marketing as well as the overall brand awareness, and you simply concentrate on the product development and manufacturing?
Kulkarni ji, we are working on a B2C segment on the nutraceutical, depending on our success in US market. We are, that way is very conservative. We are like keeping our all the, we are not keeping our legs very aggressively. We are just assessing the B2C nutraceutical market in India particularly, but in US we are very strongly active. there our model is more on a web-based model and through the Amazon and that kind of a model. In India, we are also working on B2C segment, particularly not only into the nutraceutical, but maybe in the coming days, we will come up in the baking areas, maybe in detergent areas and other industrial areas. So with the acquisition of Cytex, we are working on a new type of delivery systems, in particular these industries, and we are working how to take it further to the customers.
Right, sir. And I'm sure it need not be explained to the group of people here that B2C sales are much more preferred as a strategic avenue for growth because they are resilient to downturn and all. Yeah.
Right. So those are more stronger sales, not like dependent on too many people. So over a longer run, we need to get into B2C area.
Encouraging to know that there is strategic focus. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and congratulations for the good set of numbers. My first question is your new tax regime. When you are expecting to take new tax regime?
That as such, or for accounting purpose, we have already done our working during these 9 months, and going forward, I mean, you know, that is the new rate which we will apply. So, you know, we are not going to claim any kind of exemptions which otherwise available. So the tax rate will be 25.17% as compared to 29.12% as enacted, and the effective tax rate probably will be, you know, about 25 to 26% in that sense going forward. So
going forward, you are already there, you need to say.
Yeah, during this year, yes, we have done the working based on the new tax regime because that appears to be more beneficial to the company.
Okay. And the second question is regarding more of the strategy. Actually, many of the companies like pharma and API or the chemical companies are getting a huge inquiries from across the world, mainly because of the China plus one strategy. So can we see such kind of pent-up demand or the inquiry for our companies, and the, if yes, then the, how we would we tackle that inquiry?
I think I did not get your question. Sorry, can you repeat this?
So basically, if you see then the because of the China issues and the many of the companies are looking India as a preferred partner, so many of the API companies across the world or the across the world, many of the companies are looking India as a preferred partner in the API and the chemical sector. And the growth, many of the companies are putting extra capex to ramp up their capacity as well. So such kind of pent-up inquiries or the sudden inquiries we have faced in the coming last 1 year.
So let me take this, Rakesh. If you look into the China, the enzyme industry is very different. They do have certain like bulk enzymes or like the commodity enzymes where like the Chinese players are present at this point of time. They will continue to be there in that area as of now, the way we say. But yes, some of the pharma molecules or the API molecules which were being made in the China, there is a big demand shift is happening in India. So a lot of like APIs are being manufactured or getting manufactured from the big API companies in India. And we expect the biocatalyst area to grow because of all of this. Some of the demand this year has been increased into the existing biocatalyst portfolio, what we have, even the numbers on the larger context is very small on the biocatalyst. Presently, I feel like we are about 4% share in the biocatalyst area. But yes, that kind of demand shift we can see.
Okay. And my another question is regarding the second wave in Europe and the US. So have you faced any issues for the second wave of COVID?
Yes, so because of the second wave of COVID, yes, some of the sales are getting affected in the Europe area. If you really look at it, we were hoping to get bigger into the baking areas, but currently, if you really look into our Germany office, there is a lockdown from last one and a half months, and nobody is really able to work, or most of them are working from home. Similar situation at the customer level. So yes, some sales are not being happening. Similarly, if you really look into the US, US is getting slower because some of the inventory buildup might have happened during the first or two quarters or three quarters, because people were not sure whether the material will come, not come. And this is my best guess at this point of time. And probably as the pandemic is growing, the demand is there, but there are a lot of disturbances there because of the all this logistic and other things, and the sales are getting affected. So it's very difficult situation to really predict, but the things will evolve in US and will come to know in the coming days. At present, you can just guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pavish Jain from ITI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. So this this acquired entity, what can be the peak revenue potential post the fund infusion, and what kind of a capacity expansion we can see, the 30 crore which we have invested?
Yeah. So this capacity could be like, you know, it can be increased to about, I think, 90% of existing capacity by infusing about another 10 crores or so. So we are working on that to expand that, you know, particular capacity also. And the revenue, you know, based on the current scenario and after the expansion, could go to up to 100 crores.
Okay. Okay. From 27 crore in FY20.
No. I am saying when you are asking how much it can grow, you know, based on that capacity, right? So
right.
So once we expand the capacity, you know, one can go up to 100 crores. That's what I am saying. After investing this amount in expansion of the present capacity.
Right. And so it seems this Q3 EBITDA or PAT margins is lower in that business. So any significant, because revenue is more or less same, around 10 crores. And you said for 9 months it have done a PAT of 2.1 crore. And 6 months PAT was 1.6 crore. So any margin pressure over there?
No, that's what I am saying. Right now the numbers are provisional. So let me tell you, those numbers again are, you know, all subject to audit. So that once the audit and everything happens, then we will be getting the final numbers of. Because right now, I can add something to this.
There are like a lot of logistic costs which has gone up, and probably like a lot of export is happening from Tritec. So maybe the numbers might look lower, but as Raukaji said, probably those are unaudited numbers, and we need to go through it.
Yeah, still we are working on, you know, the audit center.
Okay, and so can you explain with one example? We have mentioned this, it will provide new delivery system for our existing vertical. So can you, for benefit for all of us, can you quote one example how it will help us?
Yes, Mukunji will do that.
We are working on, let's say, like in pure market. There are a lot of small bakeries whose mixing capacity is, let's say, about 60 kg of flour. In their mixer. So we are coming out with some kind of like effervescent tablets, which you just need to add into the water, and that water you can use with the bread. So instead of like the improvers, what these guys are using, or there is a lot of like unorganized market into this area where they might have to add about 0.3 to 1% of the improver. You can simply add one tablet, effervescent tablet, which can dissolve very fast, very concentrated, and it can give you better results, like your bread volume can go up, the softness of the bread can go up, the whiteness of the bread can go up, and the better quality of the bread, right? So, and it's easy for them to just go with it, because even like in the smaller bakeries, it's very difficult for them to measure, let's say, 0.300 gram or 400 grams, so they always have some losses. And the and since there are like a lot of small players, the quality is always a problem. So we are coming out with this kind of tablets and we are going to the all the different areas, because now the quantities what you need to ship is very small, and this is the way like we are building up this area.
Okay, so initially it will be B2B?
It will be B2C in a sense, like yes, you might have to go to the through the distributors,
right.
And some of the players, some of the people who are there and who have approached you there, which you might have to go and conduct a lot of trials. So yes, it's a B2C, but through the distributors.
Okay, but we need to build a sales team and everything. That process will be on for next year.
Yes, so some of the team is being built up by the distributors. What you are appointing, you are giving them the margins and they can do it. And some areas like you need to travel with your team, and we are using our existing textile team as well for this purpose. And this is what is going on.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you everyone for asking a lot of probing questions. We need all of your support. Thank you for all of your support. We wish you all the best. And with that, I would like to conclude this call. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Advanced Enzymes Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.